Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, November 15th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
a majority of G20 nations are set to condemn Russia's war in Ukraine.
Democrat Katie Hobbs wins the governor's race in Arizona.
Former President Trump prepares to announce another run for the White House.
And we'll tell you which chip company Warren Buffett is taking a stake in.
New York Mayor Adams announces a plan to provide housing for the homeless. Plus, federal prosecutors say Rudy Giuliani will not face criminal charges over Ukraine. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Washington upset Philadelphia in Monday Night Football. A win for the Islanders. The Knicks and Nets are on the road tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 30 points this morning. Dow futures up 171. NASDAQ futures up 140. 10-year Treasury up 13 30 seconds. The yield 3.80%. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, we'll get more on the markets in a minute, but we begin this morning with the G20 summit. A majority of nations is set to condemn Russia's war in Ukraine. That is according to a draft statement seen by Bloomberg News. It represents a compromise designed to get as many signatures as possible. We spoke with former UK ambassador to Russia, Tony Brenton, about the statement.
It doesn't directly criticize Russia. It criticizes the war, but doesn't blame Russia for it. It implicitly criticizes Western sanctions. If you look at the economic bit of it, it's all about disruption of supply chains and hitting the global energy markets and so on, which war has something to do with it, but the real source of that disruption is, of course, Western sanctions. So it steers around various delicate points.
Former UK ambassador to Russia, Tony Brenton, says the statement is expertly crafted to get as many G20 leader signatures as possible.
Well, Nathan, the agreement comes just hours after President Biden sat face-to-face with Xi Jinping in an effort to ease tensions between the two countries. U.S. Trade Chief Catherine Tai says the meeting sends a powerful message.
You can see that there is a familiarity between them, a comfort between them in terms of relating to each other. And I think that that's a really powerful signal to the rest of the world.
And U.S. Trade Chief Catherine Tai says further discussions will continue. Meantime, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger is praising the talks as a step to ease tensions.
I would say we are at the beginning of a bridge-building effort, which is positive so long as we remember that if the bridge doesn't get built, the precipice remains.
Both former Secretary Kissinger and U.S. Trade Representative Tai made the comments at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.
Well, back here in the U.S., Karen, politics is the focus. It's another big win for Democrats as Arizona becomes the latest battleground to reject a prominent election-denying candidate. Amy Morris has the details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Democrat Katie Hobbs was elected governor of Arizona, defeating Republican Carrie Lake, who embraced former President Trump's baseless claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. The race was called with about 98% of the ballots counted, and Hobbs leading Lake 50.4% to 49.6%, less than 21,000 votes. It is the latest instance of midterm election voters rejecting election deniers in battleground states, including Michigan, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and Wisconsin. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Well, Carrie Lake's loss in Arizona is unlikely to stop a, quote, very big announcement in Florida tonight. Former President Trump is set to kick off his third run for the White House at 9 p.m. Wall Street time. That's despite a growing number of Republicans and donors urging him to reconsider. Among those, the billionaire founder of Citadel, Ken Griffin.
He lost in 2020. We lost Georgia because of his behavior in the Senate race in 2020. That's a second loss. And then this year, the Republicans lost the Senate because the Trump-backed candidates in the Senate races were rejected by American voters. That's a three-time loser.
Ken Griffin made those comments at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore. Hear more of the Citadel founder's remarks coming up later in our program.
Turning to the economy now, Karen, we're getting more signs on policy from the Fed. Another central bank official says it could start slowing the pace of rate hikes. We caught up with Fed Vice Chair Lyle Brainard.
I think it will probably be appropriate soon to move to a slower pace of increases. But I think what's really important to emphasize, we've done a lot, but we have additional work to do both on raising rates and sustaining restraint to bring inflation down to 2%.
Fed Vice Chair Lob Brainard made those comments in an interview with Bloomberg News in Washington. Markets are currently pricing in a 50 basis point rate hike in December.
Well, Nathan, the Fed and Wall Street get another inflation report to digest this morning. The producer price index for October comes out before the opening bell, and Bloomberg's Michael McKee has a preview.
There's no direct link between CPI and PPI, producer prices. There are middlemen in between. Nevertheless, the big drop in consumer prices suggests downside risk to PPI as well. In particular, economists are looking for a drop in the trade services category. Essentially, it reflects wholesaler and retailer margins. The huge pandemic demand for goods led to big margin expansions. Now that goods demand is coming down, margins should compress. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. We're also getting earnings from big retail this morning. Just got earnings from Home Depot crossing the Bloomberg terminal with third quarter comparable sales beating the average analyst estimate. Later this morning, we hear from Walmart.
Meantime, Nathan, chip stocks are getting a lift this morning on news Berkshire Hathaway has taken a stake in Taiwan semiconductor manufacturing. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
For a long while, Berkshire Chairman Warren Buffett shied away from the tech industry. He has spoken about not wanting to invest in businesses he didn't fully understand. In recent years, though, the stance has changed, and now a filing shows Berkshire acquired about 60 million ADRs in TSMC in the third quarter. Assuming the average quarterly price, the stake would have cost Buffett $5.1 billion. TSMC has overtaken Intel in the cutting edge of chip making. It's also emerged as a vital player as the U.S. and China clash over leadership in global technology industries. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Doug. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. We're 36 degrees in Central Park. It's a half hour getting in through the Holland Tunnel this morning. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on once you get into New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City officials unveiled a new plan to find homes for the homeless. Mayor Eric Adams says the new options include cutting down on red tape and reducing requirements for vouchers and other programs.
We are changing the city FEPs. Rental assistance program so that we can get vouchers to more families and make them easier to use. We're reducing the number of hours families are required to work to become eligible from 30 to 14 hours per week.
Mayor Adams went on to say it doesn't make sense for a person making minimum wage to be told they make too much money for city assistance. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan have declined to file criminal charges against Rudy Giuliani over his lobbying activities in Ukraine. Prosecutors had been investigating whether the former New York mayor should have registered as a foreign agent over his lobbying of the Trump administration to oust then U.S. Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch from Ukraine. Giuliani maintained he had done nothing wrong. Tech entrepreneur Brandon Williams has been elected to Congress in a district in central New York, becoming the 11th Republican to win a House race this fall. AP finally called it late last night. Williams defeated Democrat Francis Knoll in the contest to pick a successor to U.S. Representative John Katko, a Republican who is retiring from office. Doctors in New Mexico are warning of what they are calling the threat of a triple-demic. Bloomberg's Ed Maxter reports.
That is the convergence of the flu, RSV, and COVID at the same time. Dr. John Peterson is a pediatric specialist in Albuquerque.
It's not uncommon for us to have a very significant respiratory viral season for children. What's different about this is that it's occurring very early.
Peterson says hospitals nationwide are already seeing a large number of cases in infants with RSV and fear a very serious season overall. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Joe Biden and Indonesian President Joko Widodo will announce a climate finance deal providing $20 billion to help Indonesia pivot away from coal power. The deal brokered between the U.S., Indonesia, and Japan came on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Bali. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashow.
All right, Nathan. 50 years ago, Miami Dolphins, last NFL team to go an entire season undefeated. Nobody expected the Eagles to go 20-0, but last night didn't figure to be their first loss. An 11-point favorite at home with Washington has got all kinds of issues with their ownership. But the Commanders, after falling behind early, dominated, had the ball for more than 40 minutes, forced four Philly turnovers, three in the fourth quarter, one right at the end.
Snap to Hurts. Washington breaks three. He steps up, throws underneath. Caught by Watkins, thrown to Smith. He tried to throw it backwards. He's hit by Cam Curl. That is picked up by Casey Tuhill in the end zone. It's a defensive touchdown to end the game. An exclamation point to end an undefeated season of the Eagles.
B.I.G. had the call. Washington 32, Philadelphia 21. So the Commanders are now 5-5. The Eagles are 8-1. The Giants only one game behind. Giants still have two games left with Philly, also two with Washington. Islanders, 4-2 win at Ottawa. The Isles have won 9 of their last 11. The Devils have won all of their last 9, and they play tonight in Montreal. Start of a five-game road trip for the Knicks. First stop, Utah. The Jazz, surprisingly, with 10 wins, most in the West. The Nets, still without Kyrie Irving. Their trip continues tonight in Sacramento. Tragedy at the University of Virginia. Three members of the football team murdered on campus Sunday night. They had just played a game on Saturday. They had just returned home from a bus trip to Washington, D.C. A one-time member of the football team has been arrested. Pair of 21-year-old outfielders named Rookies of the Year. Seattle's Julio Rodriguez, Atlanta's Michael Harris. They'll name the managers of the year today. The Mets' Buck Showalter favored in the NL. The Miami Marlins already have a female GM. They promoted New Jersey native Caroline O'Connor to be their team president. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
John, thank you. S&P futures now up 30 points. Dow futures up 146, and so are NASDAQ futures, actually. 10-year treasuries up 16 30 seconds. The yield, 3.79%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Watching shares of Home Depot, they're down more than 2% in early trading. It did report same-store sales for the third quarter that beat the average analyst's estimate and maintained its forecast for the year, though, and that missed estimates. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 28 points. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures up 137. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong jumped 4.1%. The 10-year Treasury up 15 30 seconds. Yield 3.79%. And the yield on the two-year, 4.34%. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Former President Donald Trump is said to be preparing to launch another campaign for the White House with an announcement tonight. Some Republicans are urging him to delay the announcement, blaming Trump for far-right candidates losing in the midterm elections. Democrat Katie Hobbs was elected governor of Arizona. Hobbs defeated Republican Kerry Lake, who embraced former President Trump's claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. In the NFL, undefeated no more, the Eagles lost to the Commanders 32-21. In the NBA, the Celtics have won 7 straight, beating the Thunder 126-122. The Warriors won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we want to bring you some conversation from the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore, this time with Citadel founder Ken Griffin. In an interview with Bloomberg's Eric Schatzker, Griffin said he is skeptical the U.S. can avoid a recession next year, though he also said it would be a dire error for the Federal Reserve to change course on monetary policy at this point. The Republican donor also discussed President Trump's potential third run for the White House. Let's listen into that conversation now.
The question the Republican Party is wrestling with is, should it unite, if you will, behind DeSantis now, or should it let the Trump-DeSantis rivalry play out, possibly, you know, in a battle for the soul of the party that potentially puts it at a disadvantage relative to the Democrats 2 years from now?
So there's we all have this sort of fantasy that these decisions are made by people in these back rooms. I haven't found that room, and I don't know those people. So in the United States, in both parties, the people that are running for the office of the president, they're on a mission on their own. And they're going to do what they're going to do. The process has to play out. Now, I really do hope that President Trump sees the writing on the wall. He lost in 2020. We lost Georgia because of his behavior in the Senate race in 2020. That's a second loss. And then this year, the Republicans lost the Senate because the Trump-backed candidates in the Senate races were rejected by American voters. That's a three-time loser. And I'd like to think that the Republican Party is ready to move on from somebody who's been, for this party, a three-time loser.
And, of course, it's so important to talk about the Federal Reserve. It sets the risk-free rate for the rest of the world and, of course, has created unbelievable complications with the strength of the dollar for emerging markets. Some Fed officials can say the time has already come to back off. I could cite Charles Evans. I could cite Lael Brainard, who didn't say it's time now, but it will be time soon. Are we there yet?
It's sort of like saying you go to your doctor, you've got a bacterial infection, and he gives you 10 pills to take, and you stop taking them after pill number 7. And then you relapse a few days later. Like, it's not yet time for us to change course on our monetary policy. We want to see that we put the inflation genie back in the bottle. We've endured a ton of pain in getting to this point. The housing market is definitely under duress. Durable goods sales are under duress. High ticket items are just out of reach of consumers today, but we haven't gotten the job done. And to take the foot off the brake right now and not finish the job, I think is the absolute worst mistake the Fed could possibly make.
Why? What happens if they, again, back off too early? If you take only 7 pills instead of 10, what are the consequences for the U.S. economy and for the global economy furthermore?
So the biggest concern is you on-anchor inflation expectations. So right now, the American public believes, and not as much as we'd like, but the American public believes the Fed's going to get the job done. If we take the foot off the brake, we don't finish the course of antibiotics, and inflation starts to flare back up, the Fed will have lost credibility. If the Fed loses credibility and inflation expectations on anchor, then the amount by which we'll need to raise rates and deter economic growth will be a much bigger bill to pay. And we shouldn't put ourselves in a position to pay that bill. We should get the job done now. We think that the one of the biggest drivers of consumer prices, which is rent, has reached a near-term peak. The shift from a goods-based economy to a service-based economy is going to create this depreciation in pricing of goods, which, of course, will help bring inflation down. So we think the inflationary path has peaked. We think by the end of 2023, our central view is inflation will be back to roughly a low to mid-twos range, which is a dramatic change from where we are today.
What I want to know from you, Ken, is what do you make of the spectacular collapse of Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX?
Well, okay, so big picture, the crypto market cap today is a fraction of what it was when we first started talking about it. So crypto's not front
It was center. $3 trillion, and now it's well under a billion.
It's like $800 billion, of which a big part of that's stable coins, right? So you really move back into a world of Bitcoin and Ethereum as the two dominant cryptocurrencies, both of which actually happen to be CFTC regulated. Look, FTX is one of these absolute travesties in the history of financial markets. I mean,
people will lose billions of dollars collectively.
People are going to lose billions of dollars. And that undermines trust in all financial markets.
And that was Citadel founder Ken Griffin speaking at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore. You can catch the full interview on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are pointed higher. We've got S&P futures right now up 26 points, Dow futures up 87, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 131 points. 10-year Treasury is up 14, 30 seconds. The yield 3.80%, yield on the 2-year 4.34%. Quick check of Bitcoin. It's up 2.2% on the session at $16,740. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Late day showers today with a high in the upper 40s. Rain will end early tomorrow. It'll turn partly sunny, low 50s for highs. Upper 40s again Thursday. Right now, 36 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
On Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR, Event Trader, offers a new way to trade futures. Use event contracts to trade your opinion on yes or no questions in key CME futures markets. Learn more at eventtrader.interactivebrokers.com. Up first, a majority of nations are set to condemn Russia's war in Ukraine at the G20 summit in Indonesia, according to a draft joint statement seen by Bloomberg News. We talked about it with former UK ambassador to Russia, Tony Brenton.
What I've seen is actually rather expertly drafted to steer a delicate way around all sorts of people's obstacles. It doesn't directly criticize Russia. It criticizes the war, but doesn't blame Russia for it.
Former UK ambassador to Russia, Tony Brenton, said the draft represents a compromise to get as many signatures as possible.
Also at the G20, Karen, President Biden announced a pact of global infrastructure investments.
We're at an inflection point. Investments we make today will have far-reaching impact on the world for generations to come.
President Biden spoke after yesterday's face-to-face meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping. U.S. Trade Chief Catherine Tai says it was an open discussion designed to ease tensions between the nations.
He raised with President Xi something that we have raised consistently, U.S. concerns about the negative economic impacts of China's non-market economic policies.
U.S. Trade Chief Catherine Tai spoke from the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.
To politics at home now, Nathan. Another blow to former President Trump. Trump ally and election denier Carrie Lake lost the Arizona governor's race to Democrat Katie Hobbs. The former president is making a very big announcement at 9 p.m. tonight, likely a third White House bid. But many Republicans and donors are asking him to reconsider, including Citadel founder Ken Griffin.
I'd like to think that the Republican Party is ready to move on from somebody who's been, for this party, a three-time loser.
Ken Griffin made the comments at the Bloomberg New Economy Forum in Singapore.
To the economy now, Karen. Fed Vice Chair Lyle Brainard tells Bloomberg the central bank should consider the pace of its rate hike path moving forward.
We have additional work to do both on raising rates and sustaining restraint to bring inflation down to 2%.
Vice Chair Lyle Brainard and the rest of the Fed will have another inflation report to digest this morning. October's producer price index comes out before the bell.
And that's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures on the rise this morning, and straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 633 on Wall Street. We're 36 degrees in Central Park. We got a crash on the southbound Harlem River Drive, 135th Street. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani will not face criminal charges over his interactions with Ukrainian figures in the run-up to the 2020 presidential election. Federal prosecutors in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan said they made the decision after reviewing electronic evidence gathered in raids on the former mayor's home and law office in April of 2021. Giuliani tweeted that it was a complete and total vindication. New York City officials unveiled a new plan to find homes for the homeless. Mayor Eric Adams says the new options include cutting down on red tape and reducing requirements for vouchers and other programs.
It just doesn't make sense when you think about it. A person making minimum wage are told they make too much money for city FEPs. Minimum wage, but they're saying you make too much money. That just doesn't add up. And what it does add up to is a crisis, a housing crisis, and we're changing that.
Mayor Adams says the new plan would in some cases skip temporary housing shelters altogether. There has been shock and sadness on the campus of the University of Virginia, where a student is accused of killing three members of the football team. The players were returning from a class trip when authorities say Christopher Darnell Jones Jr. opened fire, killing Devin Chandler, Lavelle Davis Jr., and Deshaun Perry. Jones is a former member of the football team. Students are in mourning.
I think we're all kind of coming to terms with what's going on and just trying to support each other to the best of our abilities at the moment.
Jones will face three counts of second-degree murder and three counts of using a handgun in the commission of a felony. U.S. officials say it is the largest climate transaction in history. President Joe Biden and Indonesian President Joko Widodo will announce a climate finance deal providing $20 billion to help the Southeast Asian country shift away from coal power. It is not just inflation that's sending Thanksgiving dinner prices higher. This year's outbreak of bird flu has also helped fuel a nearly 20% jump in turkey prices this year. John McConaughey is owner of Double Brook Farm in Hopewell, New Jersey.
Everything is more expensive. Feed is more expensive. Labor is more expensive. All the inputs are more expensive. So that obviously is going to translate into a more expensive turkey.
Turkey farmer John McConaughey. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Going up to 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here again is John Stetscher.
All right, Nathan, a Monday night upset. Philadelphia was undefeated, favored by 11 at home against Washington, but the Commanders held the ball for more than 40 minutes, forced four Philly turnovers. The Eagles had three fumbles in the fourth quarter, and Washington won 32-21 to get to 500, while the Eagles drop to 8-1, which means the Giants, who still have two games left with Philly, suddenly only one game out of first place. Their coach, Brian Daboll, asked yesterday about the playoffs.
You have to focus and stay in the moment, because it really doesn't matter. There's so much games to be played, and it's good to be 7-2, but again, it'll humble you really quick. When you start worrying about the wrong things or thinking about the wrong things, to me, in this business.
Dayball's Giants Sunday, home for Detroit. Big game for the Jets coming off the bye. They visit New England, who they have lost to 13 straight times. Islanders won 4-2 at Ottawa. The Devils are in Montreal tonight. They're going for a 10th win in a row. Knicks start a road trip at Utah. The Nets play in Sacramento. Last night, the Warriors blew out the Spurs by 37. Warriors have been two different teams. They're 6-1 at home and 0-7 on the road. Celtics won their seventh in a row. They're now in first place in the East ahead of Milwaukee, who lost to Atlanta. Caroline O'Connor was working on Wall Street when Derek Jeter hired her to work for the Miami Marlins. Jeter has left the team, but O'Connor was just promoted to team president. The Marlins also have baseball's only female GM, Kim Ang. Rookies of the year, Seattle's Julio Rodriguez, Atlanta's Michael Harris. He wasn't called up from the minors until late May. Buck Showalter expected to be named today the NL Manager of the Year. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Let's take a look at some of the names moving in the pre-market now. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us on a pretty big retail earnings morning. Kriti, good morning.
Yeah, we should start off with the two of the big ones, Home Depot and Walmart this morning. Home Depot, starting with HD, is your ticker, reporting sales and profit that not only exceeded estimates, but really show that they are continuing to really bolster some of their results. The home improvement retailer, said that comp sales rose 4.3% in the quarter that ended October of 31st. The estimate, though, Nathan, was only 3%. So some good numbers there. What they are saying, though, is that they're maintaining their guidance, their earnings per share likely to grow. Nevertheless, you are seeing the shares decline this morning, which is interesting given the market background. Futures up about 0.6%. Home Depot shares down 2.3%. And the reason that they're saying this is they're saying the average consumer ticket when they're buying, say, an item was about $89 in the third quarter. That is 9% higher than a year earlier. So a lot of this kind of price hikes that you're starting to see, your price spending that you're starting to see, is more driven by inflation. It's driving an increase in unit sales, but the pace of the consumer price is cooling down. So essentially, the prices are making up for their bottom line as opposed to the volume. And that's really where you're starting to see the shares kind of take a little bit of a dip, down 2.4% in the pre-market. And Walmart hasn't come out with their earnings just yet, but we are waiting for that big kind of inflation call as well, because, of course, Walmart, I don't know if you shop at Walmart, Nathan.
No, not so much.
I was an avid Walmart shopper. It was about 10 minutes away from my house growing up, but basically their entire concept is price match guarantees. You cannot get their everyday low prices anywhere else. So what makes it extremely hard to hike prices in an inflationary environment and really make up for perhaps lost volume in the way that Home Depot is or the way that other retailers are as well. Nevertheless, as we get those numbers, WMT is your ticker. Those shares are down about 0.8% in the pre-market.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, we do have this pretty positive backdrop in the overall market. And I got to think a lot of that is being driven by the positive sentiment we're getting out of U.S.-China relations this morning.
We absolutely are. And look, we love to look at the poster child, Alibaba for all things China. BABA shares up about 11% in the pre-market. Any kind of signs of goodwill now on the geopolitical front, in addition to the regulatory help that we got yesterday, is also a good sign. But it's not just Chinese shares. You got to look at crypto as kind of a risk gauge as well. Coinbase can be our poster child for that. Following Bitcoin higher this morning, COIN shares up about just shy of 3% in the pre-market.
Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent and Walmart shopper Kriti Gupta with us this morning. Taking a look at stocks as a whole, futures are pointed higher. We have S&P futures up 24 points this morning, Dow futures up 69, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 125 points. 10-year Treasury up 12 30 seconds for a yield of 3.80% on the benchmark 10-year Treasury note. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are on the green after yesterday's weak close, with Dow futures up 76 points. S&P's gained 26. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 127. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.8%. Gold is up 4. Oil is in the red. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 2.3%. Hong Kong rose 4% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing and October PPI. Regarding earnings, Home Depot EPS beat estimates, and look for Walmart to report around 7 a.m. In deal news, Credit Suisse will sell a big chunk of its securitized products group to Apollo. And in other news, Buffett took a $5 billion stake in Taiwan Semi. Wrapping things up, Madison Square Garden was cut to hold over at Jefferies. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Karen, thank you very much. Tonight, former President Trump plans to announce another run for the White House. Advisors say the new campaign will likely be based in South Florida instead of Washington. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer teed up a vote to start debate this week on legislation protecting same-sex marriage after the bill's sponsors agreed on changes intended to draw enough Republican votes to win passage. Schumer says the first procedural vote will be tomorrow. In the NFL, undefeated, no more. The Eagles lost to the Commanders 32-21. In the NBA, the Celtics have won 7 straight, beating the Thunder 126-122. The Warriors also won. In the NHL, the Islanders won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
Michael Barr, thank you. 6:49 on Wall Street, and we turn to news in science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT has joined with McKinsey and Company to establish a McKinsey Digital Capabilities Center specializing in biopharma manufacturing. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The U.S. and Indonesia will announce a climate finance deal providing $20 billion to help Indonesia pivot away from coal power. The Biden administration calls it the largest single climate finance transaction ever. It'll be outlined at the Group of 20 summit in Bali. FTX has named a slate of independent directors to oversee the collapsed crypto empire. It's also speaking with the U.S. Attorney's Office and dozens of U.S. and international regulatory agencies. Bankruptcy filings indicate there could be more than a million creditors. And NASA remains on track for tomorrow's planned liftoff of its new moon rocket after determining that hurricane damage provided little extra risk to the test flight. Hurricane Nicole's high winds caused a 10-foot section of caulking to peel away near the crew capsule at the top of the rocket last week. Liftoff is scheduled for the early morning hours of Wednesday from NASA's Kennedy Space Center with test dummies rather than astronauts on board. It's the first test flight for the 322-foot rocket, the most powerful ever built by NASA, and will attempt to send the capsule into lunar orbit. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include another rebuke for election deniers running in the midterms with Carrie Lake's loss in Arizona, the Senate to take up a same-sex marriage bill seeking Republican votes, and Presidents Biden and Xi taking their biggest step in years to avoid a U.S.-China clash. Also making news later on this evening, in fact, former President Donald Trump defying allies and the midterm results with an expected 2024 announcement. Let's bring in Joe Matthew, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, good morning. We've been playing comments from Citadel founder Ken Griffin this morning saying former President Trump is a three-time loser who needs to step aside, but sounds like reverse psychology maybe doesn't work for the former president.
Well, isn't that the truth? Like, you know, the more I hear stories like this, it's like, boy, guys, if you really don't want him to run, then stop talking. That might be the biggest motivator he's got, calling him a three-time loser. It's the same type of messaging we hear from Democrats in this case, and that makes him want to run. All the reporting that we have done, by the way, does suggest that he will make a full-throated announcement to run for president tonight. There have been a lot of Republicans asking him not to do this until the runoff election for the Senate race in Georgia, which is on December 6th. But it looks like there's no stopping this train. You know, we got the email from Trump World yesterday with all the logistics for camera crews and news crews who want to cover this thing. And it does have all the trappings of a real campaign announcement. It'll happen at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, and it's coming, Joe, on the heels of yet another major loss for one of former President Trump's endorsed candidates, perhaps the most vocal election denier of all, in Carrie Lake in Arizona.
That's right. A name that's been floated as a potential running mate for Trump in 24 loses the race for governor. This is someone who has been projecting allegations of fraud since before the race was called. We didn't know exactly how she would respond if this moment happened. But indeed, Katie Hobbs, who, by the way, is the Secretary of State in Arizona and oversaw the election in 20. And it's important to know that backdrop, that this was, in fact, a direct contest on what happened in 2020 versus what we're hearing now. Carrie Lake did tweet last night. And it's been getting quite a bit of talk because it's being called a bit of a cell phone. Arizonans know BS when they see it. That was at 10:25 p.m. Eastern time. We've heard nothing else from Carrie Lake. She has not conceded, at least officially, despite the wink and the nod that came with that tweet last night.
Where do things stand now with the Republican Party coming back to Washington? A lot of these members of Congress still at this point not knowing at least fully whether they're going to have a majority. I guess they're very close to it now, but not officially there just yet.
That's true. It was now one full week. It was a full week ago today that Kevin McCarthy declared victory. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning. So when you wake up tomorrow, Republicans will have a majority in the House. Well, that still has not happened. It appears it will. They are one seat away right now based on our reporting and the tally of races that have yet to be decided. There's still a lot of votes, tens of thousands of votes to count in California. But it does look like, you know, the odds for Democrats to get the House, to keep the House at this point, it would take a small miracle. But look, it's also a be careful what you ask for. If Kevin McCarthy or whomever owns the gavel here becomes the speaker of this incredibly thin majority, they're going to have a very difficult couple of years ahead. not only getting anything done, but just corralling the caucus, you know, herding the cats. This is not a Republican caucus that is in step with each other. The Freedom Caucus is completely at odds with other members, and there's going to be a fight for leadership here, with votes set for the next 24 hours on this.
Yeah, and that's apart from the fight over the figurehead leadership of the Republican Party, now with former President Trump expected to make this announcement, but there are a lot of other potential candidates waiting in the wings.
Well, that's true, and you know, one of the big questions, Nathan, is this a field-clearing event? We're going to really understand now, if Donald Trump makes this official tonight, exactly where he stands. You know, Tom Cotton announced earlier he would not make a run for president. He didn't even want to go there. But will Ron DeSantis sit at home just because Donald Trump is running? Some of the other Republicans who've been mentioned in the potential race for 24, that is yet to be seen. And it's looking and feeling right now like no, that Donald Trump, in fact, if he decides to run, could in fact have a primary to deal with instead of just running straight home with the nomination.
In our last minute or so, Joe, let's get caught up on what's happening at the G20. How much temperature would you say the porridge is now between U.S. and China after the meeting with
Xi Jinping? Well, it's cooling off a little bit, if I'm following your analogy here.
Thank you.
But, you know, that was an important meeting for President Biden and President Xi to do exactly that, to lower the temperature a little bit. They do seem to have indicated that our relationship has bottomed, that those weeks that followed the visit to Taiwan from Nancy Pelosi were as bad as it's going to get. A lot of contacts were severed at that point, and we're starting to reconnect things here. Both leaders know that they cannot afford to have a military conflict. Competition, yes. Conflict, no. The question is, what happens to our business relationship? You know, as we sever ties when it comes to high tech and we worry about trade with China. It's such an important relationship with China as the factory of the world. They make stuff that we don't want to make, and they need us to buy it. And that's not going to change anytime soon. These two leaders need to create the path forward here to continue that relationship. All the while, Vladimir Putin, who did not attend, is not at the G20, is sulking at home in Moscow, watching this on TV. And pretty amazing how things have changed since Xi and Putin met at the Olympics months ago. And appeared to kick off what was some new axis to go up against the United States. It's not feeling like that now.
And just quickly, is the war in Ukraine, U.S. relations with Russia, something that the U.S. and China can work together on?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, Taiwan is one thing. Ukraine is another. Xi's got his own relationship with Putin. But there was an agreement that both countries would denounce the use of nuclear weapons in Ukraine. And that's got to be a message that hit home pretty hard for Vladimir Putin to hear that through the news cycle.
Great to speak with you, as always. Joe Matthew, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound On. You can catch it weekdays, 5 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. And by the way, when you're in Washington, you can listen to Bloomberg Radio, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Joe, thanks again. Futures moving higher this morning. S&P futures up 29 points. Dow futures up 101. NASDAQ futures up 142 points as we await the latest read on inflation. Producer prices out at 8:30 Wall Street time. We'll get you through it. Bloomberg Surveillance up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.